Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 3, about John the Baptist, his ministry, and how Isaiah, the prophet 700 years earlier, described his ministry as well as preparing the way. Now, you know, when you drive, you see all sorts of interesting signs, don't you? I mean, useful signs, helpful signs. Just curious signs that sometimes get your attention. But there's one sign that no one wants to see. It's a sign that says road construction. Oh, road construction is such a hassle, isn't it? I mean, it snarls up traffic. When you see that, you just groan. Your stomach drops because you go, oh man, there's going to be delays and there's going to be difficulties. But that's what Isaiah predicted. The forerunner's job would be, he would be doing road construction. It is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. This is the job of the forerunner, to do some road construction. Now that goes back to what they used to do for kings back in the days of the Old Testament. When kings visited a city, that city would make sure that any roads the king traveled on would be in the best shape possible. They would want to make sure they patched in all the potholes, you know, made the crooked places straight, made it as easy as possible for the king to come to their city. And that's exactly what John the Baptist is doing as well. But not fixing physical roads like I-74 or I-280, but rather preparing our hearts to receive the King who comes to us. Preparing our hearts, our minds, and our lives. Let's start with the need, first of all, the need to prepare. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Why do we need road construction anyway? Well, physically speaking, physical roads need to be constantly repaired, especially in the Midwest. I mean, the effects of freezing and melting tear up even the strongest roads. It causes potholes, damage to roads, or even worse. On August 1st, 2007, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the I-35 West Bridge crossing the Mississippi River collapsed during the evening rush hour. 13 people were killed, 145 people were injured. Catastrophic event. I bet you remember the day that that happened. It's one of the deadliest bridge collapses in U.S. history, and it reminds us that roads don't just have to be built, they have to be maintained, constantly under construction, constantly be made better and stronger. We need to be prepared. Well, that's the same thing that John and Isaiah are talking about spiritually. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make the rough places become level. Make the crooked become straight. You know, what that's talking about is the need to be strengthened and prepared for what is coming ahead of time. And that is what John focuses on. He warns them about the future. He warns the people that he's preaching to about the future. He told them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It's a powerful statement. John's not mincing any words. He's not holding anything back. But those words apply not just to the people of John's day, but to ourselves as well. Because of our sins, we have earned God's wrath. We, through our own sinful actions and thoughts and words, have brought the wrath of God down on ourselves. And the catastrophe that we have brought upon ourselves is death. Sin always brings with it death, not just temporary death, but even eternal death, separation from God for eternity. That's what John is warning people about. He says, the judgment is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready for when the King comes? You need to be prepared. You need to be under construction. John has come to prepare the way for the Lord, to do some construction and repairs on our hearts, on our minds, and on our lives. But what exactly does that look like? Which brings us to point number two. Number one, the need to prepare. Number two, making straight paths. Physical road construction is a process that, well, it looks, well, painful and difficult, doesn't it? It starts by tearing things up with jackhammers and bulldozers and backhoes. And instead of traffic improving, it gets worse. It gets backed up with delays and difficulties and bottlenecks, traffic jams. It almost seems like they're trying to make things worse instead of better. But it needs to happen, and we understand that. Before you can build a new road, you have to tear apart the old one because the old one's, well, messed up. It's broken. It needs to be replaced. And the same thing is true spiritually. As Luke 3 says, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight. And the rough places shall become level ways. So, all of those things need to happen. The crooked needs to be made straight. John the Baptist tells us that in order to prepare for the King, the Christ, we need to tear down the old to make room for the new. We need to make straight paths. What does this look like in real life? Well, it's called confession and repentance. It's what John the Baptist called people to back in his day and is still calling us to today. And it has three parts. First of all, confession and repentance means, number one, examining our hearts. Examining our hearts, minds, and actions, not according to our feelings, but according to God's holy word. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So it judges our thoughts and our attitudes. It holds a mirror up to our lives to see where we have sinned. We look into the mirror of God's law so we can see the places where we have fallen short, so we can see our own sins. We can no longer deceive ourselves, but we need to know the truth about our own sin. So the first step in confession and repentance is to examine our hearts. The second one is to confess our sins to God, because it is God first and foremost whom we have sinned against. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. We confess our sins to God, acknowledging that we have sinned in thoughts, words, and deeds. We don't justify our sins. We don't blame our sins on someone else. We don't make excuses for our sins. What we do is we take responsibility for our sin and confess our sins to the Lord. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Proverbs 28:13. So number one, how does confession and repentance work? First of all, we examine our hearts, see our sin. Number two, we confess our sins to God, both those we know and those we don't know. And third of all, if we sin against someone else other than God, we confess our sins to each other. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. If we have sinned against someone else, we should also confess our sin to them. We should acknowledge our sin and apologize at the very least. We have to admit, I was wrong. I did something wrong to you. I hurt you, and I'm sorry I did that. And if we owe them something more than an apology, we need to make things right. Repentance is not just lip service. It's a matter of action, John points out. When the people ask, what shall we do? He answered them, whoever has two tunics, share with him who has none. To tax collectors, he said, collect no more than you are authorized to do. To soldiers, when they ask, what should we do? Don't extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations. Be content with your wages. Specific actions for their specific vocations, living in that repentance, making things right again. So, the three steps in confession and repentance: examine our hearts, confess our sins to God, and then confess our sins to each other and make things right. Which brings out the results that we are looking for. The results of road construction are wonderful. You know, it's a hassle. Sometimes it's a big hassle. But the results of physical road construction are worth it. You get a beautifully paved road that is a joy to drive on, and it doesn't tear your car apart. They were working on the Andalusia Road, and wow, now it's a joy, a pleasure to drive on. And then just this past, or yesterday, Friday, I took my first drive on the fully open I-74 bridge. It was expensive. It was a lot of work. We pulled together as a city and accomplished it, but look at the good that it does. It connects the Quad Cities together. Now we can travel. People can get from one side to the other easily. People can get to work. Goods and services can cross the Mississippi River easily and safely, and that makes everyone's life better. That's the result of road construction. It has so many good blessings and benefits. But you know what? There are results of spiritual road construction, of confession and repentance, which are even greater than that. Luke 3, verse 6, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The results of spiritual road construction, confessing our sins and repenting of them, is far, far greater. What happens when we confess our sins? Two things. Number one, God forgives us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's a guarantee. God says, you admit your sins, you confess them to me, and I will forgive them each and every time. Yeah, but what if I've done it a lot of times? Doesn't matter. I'll keep forgiving you. Whenever we confess our sins, God promises to forgive us because God is generous in his forgiveness. In fact, he gives us all sorts of ways in order that we might be forgiven. In fact, what is a highway? A highway is a means of transportation. It's a way, right? Well, God gives us the means of grace. What is that? It's the way our King comes to us today. It's through the means of grace, which are his word, baptism, and Holy Communion. Through these means, God comes to us. Our King comes to us with his grace and with his mercy, forgiving all of our sins. God's word says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In baptism, God says, be baptized, arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins. Holy Communion, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is the beautiful accomplishment of God's Holy Spirit showing us and giving us his mercy in the forgiveness of sins. And then forgiveness can take place in our relationships. Forgive one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. Since we have been forgiven, now we can bring that same grace and forgiveness to all our relationships. When we confess our sins, we give others the chance to give us the gift of forgiveness. And of course, when others wrong us, we have the wonderful opportunity to forgive others the same way we have been forgiven by Christ. Road construction can be a hassle, but it's worth it. Without it, we couldn't be connected to the people on the other side of the river. We couldn't be connected to the people we need to be connected to. And in the same way, God works in our hearts and in our lives, bringing us to repentance and confession of sins, so that we might receive the blessings of his grace. John the Baptist prepared the way so that the Christ could come and bring with him his grace and his forgiveness. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.